سورة يونس.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألف لام را، تلك آيات الكتاب الحكيم. أكان للناس عجبا أن أوحينا إلى رجل منهم أن أنذر الناس وبشر الذين آمنوا أن لهم قدم صدق عند ربهم، قال الكافرون إن هذا لساحر مبين. إن ربكم الله الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام ثم استوى على العرش يدبر الأمر، ما من شفيع إلا من بعد إذنه، ذلكم الله ربكم فاعبدوه أفلا تذكرون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Alif Lam Ra, tilka ayatul kitab al-hakim. Alif Lam Ra, these are the verses of the wise book. Have the people been amazed that we revealed revelation to a man from among them, saying, warn mankind and give good tidings to those who believe, that they will have a firm precedence of honor with their Lord? But the disbelievers say, indeed, this is an obvious magic. What was the purpose of sending this book? To warn people, give them good news. And what is it that the people said about it? This is magic. Indeed, your Lord is Allah, who created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then established Himself above the throne, arranging the matter of His creation. There is no intercessor except after His permission. That is Allah, your Lord, so worship Him. Then will you not remember? To Him is your return altogether, meaning there is life after this death. It is the promise of Allah which is true. Indeed, He begins the process of creation and then repeats it. Does He not show that to us every year? When a tree sheds all of its leaves and in the next year we see it, or after the end of the season we see that it's come back to life again. So just like that, when we die, He will bring us back to life again. Why? That He may reward those who have believed and done righteous deeds in justice, with fairness. But those who disbelieved will have a drink of scalding water and a painful punishment for what they used to deny. So the life after death is for the purpose of recompense, which means we have been sent here right now to do amal. It is He who made the sun a shining light and the moon a derived light, and determined for it phases, that you may know the number of years and account of time. Allah has not created this except in truth. He details the signs for a people who know. This is why gaining knowledge, is it necessary? Yes, because indeed in this are signs for who? For people who? No, He details the signs for people who? No, who have knowledge. Indeed, in the alternation of the night and the day, and in what Allah has created in the heavens and the earth, are signs for a people who fear Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَطُمَأَنُّوا بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. Indeed, those who do not expect the meeting with us, they are living this life never thinking that one day they will meet Allah. One day they will stand before Him. They live their entire lives ignoring, forgetting the meeting with Allah. They do not expect it. They're not working for it. They're not striving for it. Why? Because they are satisfied with the life of this world. They're content with what they have right now. They're happy with the money, with the home, with the health, with the family, with the happiness, with the pleasures that they are enjoying right now. And how sad could this be, that a person is just satisfied with what he can get here? How could a person be satisfied with what he can get here, when everything here is deficient? When everything here in this world is so imperfect, it comes with its set of problems. It comes with its set of instructions, with a whole list of things that you have to do in order to look after it. I mean, even when you buy clothes, don't you have to follow the instructions to take care of them properly? Care instructions, isn't it? You buy furniture, care instructions. And then what are we always looking for? Dishes that can be washed in the dishwasher. Isn't it? At least in my kitchen, I don't bring anything that cannot go in the dishwasher. And so sometimes I have to leave something that may look very beautiful, or that may look very nice, but I'm not going to get it. Why? Because if it doesn't go in the dishwasher, I'm not wasting my time standing and washing it by hand. I mean, the things of this world, no matter how good they are, no matter how much we enjoy them, they're imperfect. So a person who is satisfied with the life of this world, I mean, that is true deprivation. Because even when you're enjoying in this life anything, you enjoy with the state of mind that this pleasure is going to come to an end. I mean, when you're drinking that coffee also, you know that the last sip is coming. When you're having that cookie also, you know that the last bite is coming. And each day as you celebrate your birthday, you know that death is also coming. Isn't that so? So, وَرَضُوا بِالْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. How sad that they're just happy with the life of this world. وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. And they are feeling secure with it. I mean, they think they're going to last here forever? That's foolishness. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِنَا غَافِلُونَ. And there are those who are heedless of our signs. Meaning they don't pay attention to the Qur'an. They don't pay attention to the warnings that Allah has given, the commands that He has revealed. And this is an entire lifestyle. Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ مَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. For those, their refuge will be the fire because of what they used to earn. Why fire? Because they never expected paradise. They never strove for that. You understand? What are they striving for? Success here. They're not striving for success in the afterlife. And if they're not striving for that, they're not going to get it. This is just like if two people go to school, one person is aiming for good results. They're aiming for good results. So they're doing their assignments, their projects on time, their tests on time, everything. They're doing their extra work also to get in the good books of their TAs, of their professors. Why? So that when they do need a reference letter, they can get it easily. When they do want an internship, they can get it easily. They have a goal in mind. They have a target and they're working towards it. They're striving towards it. And there's another person who's just going through university as if it's just, you know, preschool. But yeah, we'll see what happens today. I don't even know what's going to happen today. Then what's going to happen? Are they going to graduate? They're hardly going to graduate even. People will be getting their diplomas and they'll be just standing there in the audience taking pictures of their friends because they still have certain courses to take so that they can graduate. And this is the way many people live life. Majority of the people, they don't live for akhirah. They don't live so that they can secure a place in paradise. They don't live so that they can make Allah their Lord happy. وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا. With this worldly life, they're ghafil, they're heedless of what Allah has commanded. So such people, they will end up in hell. Why? Because of what they have done. Because of the wrong that they have done. The Prophet ﷺ said, the world is a prison house for a believer and paradise for a non-believer. Why is this world a prison for the believer? Because he has limited himself, right? He has put limitations on himself. Why? So that he can get a better result. Just like a person who is going through university, serious about his education, what is he going to do? Is he going to restrict himself to certain things that he can do during the week and certain things that he can do during the weekends, in the evenings? Yes, of course. So likewise, the believer, for him, this world is not a place of enjoyment. Yes, he enjoys, but he knows that true enjoyment is going to come after some hard work. So fasting in the month of Ramadan, yes, it's difficult, but we know that this is inshallah a step to Allah's pleasure, inshaAllah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Indeed, those who have believed and they have done righteous deeds, they have done something good. يَهْدِيهِمْ رَبُّهُمْ بِإِيمَانِهِمْ. Their Lord will guide them because of their faith. Meaning because they have believed, Allah will teach them what they should do. Because they have believed, they will do good deeds. Then their iman will grow. And then their desire for goodness will increase. And then they will continue on the straight path. So they're guided because of their iman. Beneath them rivers will flow in the gardens of pleasure. دَعْوَاهُمْ فِيهَا سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمْ وَتَحِيَّتُهُمْ فِيهَا سَلَامٌ وَآخِرُ دَعْوَاهُمْ أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Their call therein will be, exalted are you. Their call therein in Jannah will be, exalted are you, O Allah. And their greeting therein will be, peace. And the last of their call will be, praise to Allah, Lord of the worlds. These are the grateful servants of Allah, here in this world and there in Jannah also. And if Allah was to hasten for the people the evil they invoke as He hastens for them the good, their term would have been ended for them. But we leave the ones who do not expect the meeting with us in their transgression wandering blindly. Meaning He leaves them. He leaves them in what they're doing, the wrong that they're doing, without any hardship. So we see that if a person does not face trials here in this world, then this is problematic. Why? Because difficulties, what do? They humble us. They make us repent. They bring us closer to Allah. And when a person doesn't suffer from any trials, وَطْمَأَنُّوا بِهَا, they're happy with this life. They've got everything they want. They enjoy themselves day in and day out. Then they don't even look forward to an afterlife. They don't know what to repent from. The Prophet ﷺ said that when Allah intends good for a servant, He hastens for him some punishment in the world. Meaning then that person has some difficulties in his life. Financial difficulties, physical, health related, emotional, in relationships. I mean, these are all trials, right? These are all difficulties that come by the idhn of Allah. So when Allah intends good for a servant, He hastens for him some punishment in this world. And when He intends for the servant some evil, then He holds back his sins from him and will recompense him in full on the Day of Judgment. Because then nothing of his sins have been wiped off. Nothing of that has been erased. And when affliction touches man, He calls upon us, whether lying on His side, or sitting, or standing. But when we remove from Him is His affliction, He continues in disobedience, as if He had never called upon us to remove an affliction that touched Him. So this is why Allah inflicts us with hardship, so we turn to Him. But what happens majority of the times? We turn to Him, and then as soon as that difficulty is removed, people go back to how they were before. This is made pleasing to the transgressors, that which they have been doing. And we had certainly destroyed generations before you, when they wronged, and their messengers had come to them with clear proofs, but they were not to believe. Thus do we recompense the criminal people. Then we made you successors in the land after them, so that we may observe how you will do. لِنَنْظُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah is watching us, what we're doing. He didn't send us in this world so that we enjoy a few years. We enjoy 40 years, 50 years. We enjoy being children and then being adults and then being single and then being married and then being grandparents and so on and so forth. This is all part of life. However, Allah sent us here to see what we do. And the actual reward and punishment is where? In the hereafter. And when our verses are recited to them as clear evidences, those who do not expect the meeting with us say, bring us a Qur'an other than this or change it. Who says this? Those people who do not expect a meeting with Allah. They say, change this Qur'an. We don't like it. We don't want to change according to it. The Qur'an should change according to us, our wishes. Allah says, say, it is not allowed for me to change it on my own accord. I only follow what is revealed to me. Because the Qur'an is not the word of the Prophet ﷺ. Is it? It's not the product of human mind. This is not the product of Islamic scholars. The Quran is whose speech? Allah's speech. I only follow what has been revealed to me. Indeed, I fear if I should disobey my Lord, the punishment of a tremendous day. Say, if Allah had willed, I would not have recited it to you, nor would He have made it known to you. For I had remained among you a lifetime before it. Then will you not reason? Never before in his life did the Prophet ﷺ ever say words of poetry even. He didn't do that. He never expected that people should listen to him, that he wanted to be a leader, he wanted to be a king. No. So it is said that if Allah wanted, I would never have done this. If I'm doing this, if I'm reciting the Quran to you, it's because Allah has revealed to me. You know my history. I've lived amongst you. I'm not making this up. So who is more unjust than he who invents a lie about Allah or denies his signs? Indeed, the criminals will not succeed. Now their shirk is mentioned. And they worship other than Allah, that which neither harms them nor benefits them. And they say, these are our intercessors with Allah. Say, do you inform Allah of something He does not know in the heavens or on the earth? Meaning if these idols existed, Allah would have known about them. If Allah does not know about them, that means they do not even exist. Are you trying to tell Allah? Exalted is He, and high above what they associate with Him. And mankind was not but one community, meaning united in religion. Initially people were all upon one religion, but then they differed. They had differences, and this is something normal. That when there's a few people, then they are united. But as the numbers grow, the differences also increase. Why? Because each person thinks differently. Like for example, you may have noticed that when it was just you and your husband, things were easier to do. And now with one child, with two children, with three children, four children, as the number increases, then what happens? One child wants roti, another child wants rice, another child wants pasta. Isn't it? Differences. Likes and dislikes. Why? Because people, they differ from one another. And if not for a word that proceeded from your Lord, it would have been judged between them immediately concerning that over which they differ. Meaning Allah has let these differences happen because He is testing people through these differences. That who is it that recognizes the truth and accepts it and adheres to it, even though when there's so many variations of belief, of faith that are out there. And they say, why is a sign not sent down to him from his Lord? So say, the unseen is only for Allah to administer. So wait, indeed I am with you among those who wait. And when we give the people a taste of mercy, after adversity has touched them, at once they conspire against our verses. Say, Allah is swifter in strategy. Indeed, our messengers record that which you conspire. Meaning you cannot trick Allah. He can cause failure to all your plots. You benefit from the blessings He gives you. And then after eating the food He has fed you, you speak against Him? You dare to speak out against Him? What kind of ingratitude is this? It is He who enables you to travel on land and sea until when you are in ships and they sail with them by a good wind and they rejoice therein. There comes a storm wind and the waves come upon them from everywhere and they assume that they are surrounded. Supplicating Allah, sincere to Him in religion, in worship. What do they say? If you should save us from this, O Allah, we will surely be among the thankful. In difficulty, what do? They call upon Allah alone. Why? Because everyone else has failed them. Many times it happens that people don't remember Allah at the first strike of calamity. At that time, they think about who? Women? What is it that we generally think about? Our friends? Our husband? Our children? Our son? Daughter? Grandparents? Uncle? Aunt? Teacher? Somebody? Mentor? And then when we have made 20 phone calls and nobody has responded, and we have sent messages and nobody has responded, then we think, I should make dua. We should make dua first. Because this is not right. That first we think about others, and then when nobody responds, then we think as our last resort to try making dua also. You know, in the following ayat we will also learn about using Qur'an for shifa. Because Allah says this Qur'an is shifa, it's a cure. Now what happens when a person is sick generally, what do? Go to the doctor, get some tests done, right? Take some medication, but then when months go by, and nothing is figured out, or the health is not coming back, then what do we ask? Do you know any person who does ruqyah? I think I should also try that. Huh? That should be the first thing. You know, today you were introduced to that dua, painkiller. So make sure you get that now, as a reminder for yourself and for your family members. That whenever you feel pain in the body anywhere, even your children, they get hurt, right? Generally what happens, children, as soon as they get hurt, I need a band-aid. A band-aid will help me make feel better. Right? Or a candy will help me make feel better. If you give me a toy, that will, you know, make me feel better. But teach them that as soon as they get hurt, Bismillah, Bismillah. Take Allah's name. You know, Talha radiallahu anhu, he was fighting in the battle of Uhud, defending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when he was defending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, somebody attacked him and they cut his fingers off. His fingers got cut off. And Talha radiallahu anhu at that time, he just said, I was thinking if we were in his position, we would have probably screamed until our voice would not work anymore. He just said, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, had you said Bismillah, the angels would have lifted you up. You should have taken Allah's name at that time. You see, whenever we are happy or when we're sad, when we're in pain or in some hardship, who is it that we remember first? First, the one whom we love. The mind goes there, the one whom we love. You know, like if you're enjoying some good food even, who do you remember? People whom you love, if you could only share that food with them. You know, with me, for example, every time I have a good melon or papaya or something like that, I always think of my mother because she loves good fruit. Watermelon? I remember my father. He loves watermelon. So these days, I mean, melons, watermelons, papayas, each time, you know, I think about them. This is natural. Natural. So when a believer is in pain, when he's struck with some hardship, who does he remember? First and foremost, Allah. Because وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّ لِلَّهِ. Those who believe, they're intense in their love for Allah. But many among mankind, what do? That when they're in difficulty, then they call upon Allah. And when they call upon Allah, saying, if you should save us from this, we will surely be among the thankful, then what happens? فَلَمَّا أَنْجَاهُمْ. Then He saves them. Which means that even if a disbeliever, an atheist, someone who doesn't even believe in God, if he in this position, in this situation, he calls upon Allah, that God, if you're really there, then you help me. And what happens? Allah answers them. So what should we do? We who believe in Allah, how should we make dua? With conviction, with certainty. The Prophet ﷺ said, call upon Allah while being certain of being answered, and know that Allah does not respond to a supplication from the heart of one who is heedless and occupied by play. Whose dua is it that Allah responds to? The one who is attentive, who asks with conviction. Because you see, balla, everything else gets lost. You know that nobody is going to answer, only Allah will answer. So make dua like that. But when He saves them, at once they commit injustice upon the earth without right. What's that injustice? Shirk. They forget Allah or the associate partners with Allah. So, O mankind, your injustice is only against yourselves, being merely the enjoyment of worldly life. Then to us is your return, and we will inform you of what you used to do. Allah listens to our duas. But when we turn back from Him after He has relieved us, He still knows what we do. Why do we do this? Because of the intense love of this dunya that we have. Allah says the example of this worldly life is but like rain, which we have sent down from the sky, that the plants of the earth absorb, those from which men and livestock eat, until when the earth has taken on its adornment and is beautified, and its people suppose that they have capability over it, there comes to it our command by night or by day, and we make it as a harvest, as if it had not flourished yesterday. Thus do we explain in detail the signs for people who give thought. I mean, these days you see flower beds, they're full of colorful purple, pink, you know, beautiful flowers. But what will happen within a couple of months? As if there were no flowers that were there. This is how this life is temporary. Very short. Very, very short. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُو إِلَى دَارِ السَّلَامِ And Allah invites to the home of peace, and He guides whom He wills to a straight path. لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةِ For those who have done good is the best reward, and also extra on top of that good reward. What is that ziyada, that additional favor that Allah will show to these people? It is His forgiveness, it is His pleasure, and best of all, that He will honor them so they can see Him. Ziyada. No darkness will cover their faces, nor humiliation. Those are companions of paradise. They will abide therein eternally. So those who do good, Allah will bless them with the honor of seeing Him. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Two gardens, the utensils and the contents of which are silver, and two gardens, the utensils and contents of which are gold, and nothing will prevent the people who will be in Jannah from seeing their Lord except the curtain of majesty over His face. Meaning now there is just one barrier between them and Allah. And what is that? That's the curtain of majesty, which means that they will be very close to Allah. And they will see Allah whenever Allah will allow them. But they who have earned blame for evil doings, the recompense of an evil deed is its equivalent, and humiliation will cover them. They will have from Allah no protector. It will be as if their faces are covered with pieces of the night. So dark are they. Those are the companions of the fire. They will abide therein eternally. And mention the day we will gather them all together. Then we will say to those who associated others with Allah, remain in your place, you and your partners. Then we will separate them, and their partners will say, you did not used to worship us. And sufficient is Allah as a witness between us and you that we were of your worship unaware. So all those who are worshipped besides Allah, what will they do on the Day of Judgment? They will reject the worship that was dedicated to them. We learn on the Day of Resurrection, people will be gathered and Allah will order the people to follow what they used to worship. So some people will follow the sun, some people will follow the moon, and some people will follow other deities, other idols. And like this group after group, they will leave until only those who worshipped Allah will remain. And then Allah will come to them. And Allah will show Himself to them. And then Allah will talk to them, those who believed. And then eventually they will be taken to paradise. هُنَالِكَ تَبْلُو كُلُّ نَفْسٍ مَّا أَسْلَفَتْ There, on that day, every soul will be put to trial for what it did previously. And they will be returned to Allah, their Master, the Truth. And lost from them is whatever they used to inherit. Say, who provides for you from the heaven and the earth? Or who controls hearing and sight? Who gave that to you in the first place? And who can take it away? Is it people who can give us hearing and sight? If they could, nobody would be wearing glasses today. People cannot. Is it those in the graves? No. Is it the elders? Then if they could cure our hearing and our sight, they would not be wearing glasses themselves. Man is weak. Creation is weak. The only one who controls all these blessings is who? Allah. He gives and He takes. إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى وَمَا أَخَذَ It belongs to Allah, whatever He has given and whatever He has taken. Who brings the living out of the dead and brings the dead out of the living and who arranges every matter? They will say, Allah. So say, then will you not fear Him? When Allah has full control over you, your life, your death, your hearing, your sight, will you not fear Him? For that is Allah, your Lord, the truth. And what can be beyond truth except error? So how are you averted? Thus the word of your Lord has come into effect upon those who defiantly disobeyed, that they will not believe. Say, are there of your partners any who begins creation and then repeats it? Is there anybody else who, after finishing the creation, can bring it back to life again? Is there anybody like that? No. Say, Allah begins creation, and then He repeats it. So how are you deluded? Say, are there of your partners any who guides to the truth? Say, Allah guides to the truth. So is he who guides to the truth more worthy to be followed, or he who guides not unless he is guided? Everyone is in need of guidance. Only Allah is the one who guides. So who is worthy of being followed? The guide or those who need guidance? The guide. Then what is wrong with you? How do you judge? And most of them follow not except assumption. Indeed, assumption avails not against the truth at all. Indeed, Allah is knowing of what they do. And it was not possible for this Qur'an to be produced by other than Allah. It cannot be the product of human mind. But it is a confirmation of what was before it, and a detailed explanation of the former scripture, about which there is no doubt from the Lord of the worlds. Or do they say about the Prophet that he has invented it? Say, then bring forth a surah like it, and call upon for assistance whomever you can besides Allah, if you should be truthful. Because if he could invent it, then anybody else could also invent it. Somebody who's traveled more, somebody who has more worldly knowledge and more worldly experience, he should be able to produce a better Qur'an. But nobody has been able to do that. So the fact is that this Qur'an is not the product of human mind. It is the word of Allah. Rather, they have denied that which they encompass not in knowledge, and whose interpretation has not yet come to them. Thus did those before them deny. Then observe, how was the end of the wrongdoers? Because generally, people reject, refuse to accept what they are ignorant of. They become enemies to what they are ignorant of. So once they come to know, then what happens? That bias, that hatred, it goes away. So likewise, Qur'an also, they don't know about it. This is why they have rejected it. But they are only following the footsteps of who? Of the people who were before. Now the thing is that there are certain things that we can never know. We can never really ascertain. Like for example, you could say about some law of physics that your professor is teaching you, that what's the proof of this? And he says, okay, this experiment. Right? So for example, you're told gas has weight, air has weight. And you're like, wow, how is that possible? I don't feel my hands heavy. So then they show an experiment to you. Two balloons, one balloon is filled with air and the other is left empty. Right? And you put them on the edges of one stick. Which one will tip? Which one will go down? The one with the air. Right? So this is something you see, you observe, and so you can accept it. But the angels, can we see them? No, we can't. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can we see Him? No, we cannot. Jannah, can we see? No, we cannot. And the fact is that no matter how much we try, we cannot ever in this world be able to come up with some lens or anything that will help us see the angels. No, we cannot. There's no time machine. It's not there. It's not possible. So there are certain matters which we have to accept. This is why the first thing is what? In the Qur'an, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. So we cannot say, oh, when I see God, I'll believe in Him. It'll be too late. It'll be too late. When I see angels, I'll believe in Him. It'll be too late. You have to believe now. And of them are those who believe in it. And of them are those who do not believe in it. And your Lord is most knowing of the corruptors.